waiting to hear from you.
Speak to my heart.
Hey, that's what I want you to do.
To my heart.
Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Never go on now. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Oh, my heart.
Give me your holy
word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
then I know what to do.
I won't go on.
Our message today is entitled, This Ain't the House That Jack Built. Our text, Psalms 127 and verse 1. The scripture says, Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I would speak to you today about the need of reverence, revival, and reformation. I'm reminded of a story about rekindling the flame. An old lady had been married for many years when suddenly her husband died. This is what she put on the tombstone. The light of my life has gone out. Not long afterward, she met, fell in love with, and married another man. After thinking at some length about it, she went to the monument maker and had him add this to the tombstone. The light of my life has gone out. P.S. I found a match. It reminds me of what happened to the church at Ephesus. There was a lot of activity in that congregation. They were commended for their perseverance, their refusal to tolerate false doctrine, and their labor for the cause of Christ. But there was something missing. The light of their life had gone out. They lost the first love they had for Christ, and it had reached the point that they were doing lots of religious works without love as a motivator. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. Perhaps you found yourself in a similar situation. You're doing all the right things, but that love you once had for Christ just isn't there anymore. Perhaps you need to find a match and rekindle the flame. It's important to do that before the light truly goes out in our lives, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. May you find again your first love. It is time for us to find our first love in our relationship with God. Many have been out of their churches for a year and a half, and now there's a thought of going back again. There's a thought of rekindling the flame. This research begins in our understanding about our relationship with God in our home. Let us first discover the three places in which God has provided as his home. The first home was the Garden of Eden. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." This was man's first home, provided by God, in spite of God's original purpose for man. Sin and Satan messed up God's original purpose. God desired unity and perfection, but man chose sin and separation. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17 through 19, the Bible says, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Now the second home was the tabernacle in the wilderness for the church. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8 says, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." Once again, God's original purpose for man was distorted by sin and Satan. And once again, these two enemies of God messed up God's original purpose. God desired a place of refuge from the degradation caused by sin, but man chose sin and separation. Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 12, the Bible says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." The third home is the body temple. By God's design, our bodies are to be the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Once again, God's original purpose for man's body temple was distorted by sin and Satan. And once again, these two enemies of God messed up God's original purpose. God desired a body free of death and disease caused by sin and perpetuated by sin. But man chooses by his life and lifestyle to be subject to sickness and disease that is caused by sin. For Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 19, the Bible says, "Because that which may be known to God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans outlines the degradation of man all the way down through the 31st verse to let people know, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Looking around the world today, many of us want to blame God for the environment. Many want to blame God for the coronavirus, for natural calamities, for the crisis that plague and affect our modern world, involving the home and lifestyle of those of us who must live in this world. But truly, it's not God's fault. As a minister of the gospel, it is my responsibility to inform you that the sin that is plaguing the world today is not the fault of my God, because this ain't the house that Jack built. This was not God's original plan. This was not where God wanted us to be today. It is because man has made bad choices and gone into bad experiences because of bad decisions that have led us down a bad path. God did not choose sin. God did not promote sin. God did not cherish sin. God is not involved with sin. God did not embrace sin. It is the foolishness of man that has chosen to live contrary to the will and dictates of God. For sin separates a person from God. God is holy, pure, and righteous. Therefore, God can have nothing to do with sin. It is God's purpose to judge and condemn sin. His holy nature demands that sin be eradicated from the universe. But even more than this, God is love. He is merciful and gracious. God exercises his love toward man. Therefore, God has to execute judgment on behalf of all who have been hurt and wronged by other people. God has to execute justice upon all the sinners and evil people upon the earth. This is the reason for the coming day of judgment, the reason why God must execute justice on the earth. This was the experience of the Israelites. They had just sinned, broken their commitment to God, and disobeyed and rejected God. They had broken the Ten Commandments. Consequently, the judgment of God was about to fall upon Israel. But Moses had gone before God in behalf of Israel. He had prayed and prayed, asking God to forgive Israel. The present passage shows Moses still before God, still seeking God to forgive and to restore his people into his favor. This is the important subject of this passage. The sins of the people demanded God's threat of separation. God cannot be connected with unholiness and impurity. Not only would there be a separation from God, but also a separation from Moses. I cannot be more passionate in my warning that it is time to leave Egypt. In leaving Egypt, we must prepare for revival, for repentance, and for reformation. The Bible reveals that there are essentials for repentance and renewal after sinning. Number one, after hearing God's call and God's warning, the warning that sin causes him to withdraw his personal presence, after the opportunity to prepare for repentance and to understand that God does withdraw his presence and God does chastise his people. It is our purpose to prepare for intercession, for restoration and renewal, for God's full presence and guidance is at stake. To plead to know the Lord more and more, we must stop doing the things that brought us in here in the first place. I want you to know there are many times that my mother took me downstairs and told me, son, what I'm going to give to you is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. But I want you to know that mama's desire was to bring about a correction. Mama's desire was to make sure that I didn't go to jail. Mama's desire was to make sure that I realized that I couldn't get away with sin and still be saved by the Savior. The first essential to restoration is clear. A person must hear God's call and God's warning. The warning that sin causes God to withdraw his presence. God told Moses to leave Mount Sinai and proceed to the promised land. God had made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If they believed God, really believed and followed God, he would give them the glorious inheritance of the promised land, a land that flowed with milk and honey, a land that would give them the rest of all of their enemies, a symbol of heaven. God always fulfills his promises. Man may be unfaithful, but God is faithful. Man may break his commitment to God, but God does not break his commitment to man. I want you to know that the Israelites had committed terrible and deplorable sin. They had sinned and broken the covenant, their commitment to God. They had turned away from God, turned back to the world, to its false worship and drunkenness, dancing and immorality, and the judgment of God was about to fall upon them. But Moses had interceded for the people. He prayed long and hard for God to forgive their terrible sin. God had heard Moses' prayer and forgiven their sin. Now it is time for them to get up and once again begin their journey to the promised land. Notice that God had promised a limited presence and with a limited guidance. Without a change in their lifestyle, God would no longer guide them himself. God would send a guardian angel to guide his people, but his personal presence would no longer dwell in the midst of them. This news was obviously a shock, a frightening shock to Moses and the Israelites. From the beginning, God's very own presence had guided them as they journeyed to the promised land. God's presence had been symbolized in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But now, the pillar of cloud was obviously to be removed, no longer guiding and protecting them. Why? Because the people were stubborn and sinful, stiff-necked, hard and disobedient. Because God could not stand in the presence of sin, his holiness, his righteousness, and his purity is just. Therefore, when a person sins, God has to execute judgment. Why? Because this ain't the house that Jack built. God did not want us to be sinners. God did not want us to continue in sin, to disobey and turn from him, to continue to practice lifestyles of slaves, to continue to follow path of heathen, to continue to live contrary to God's will, to continue to pattern ourselves after the world, to continue to adorn ourselves with handmade gods, to continue to worship the creature rather than the creator, to continue living in a pattern of unrighteousness. It was not these evils that caused God to tell these people that they would represent him. But oh, in the very special presence of God, the special manifestation of God's presence were the dwelling of his people. He wanted to dwell with them as he wants to dwell with us. It is time for us to turn the devil off and turn God on. Why? Because this ain't the house that Jack built. God has a better land. He has a better place. That's why he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Oh, my brothers and sisters, Jesus has a home for us. He's got a city home built by him, his own hands. He's got a country home where we will build houses and plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. Oh, my brothers and sisters today, God wants that house for you. Do you want that house? Claim Jesus today.
If you've enjoyed this message by Pastor Jonathan McCautry, please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. Call at 318-658-6216. Email us at deliverancetodayministries@gmail.com. Write us at P.O. Box 5452, Bossier City, Louisiana, 71171. This is Ruth Ann Thompson at Deliverance Today Ministries, inviting you to join us and become a faithful pledge supporter so we can reach others through this radio ministry.
Before we leave the air today, I'd like to make a special appeal for those of you who believe in the power of prayer. Please join us on our Zoom prayer line tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. Zoom number 504-535-3921. There is no ID number. Come and pray with us each day. Good day. God bless you.
Have deliverance. Right now. If you're sick, you can have deliverance.
St. Joseph Natchez 99.3.
People say, Tim, yo, you're my hero. How you do it? How you stay strong? Let them all know there's so much that I've been through.
Thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ House of Prayer, located in Leesville, Louisiana, the place where the Spirit and anointing, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, abides in abundance. The Church of Jesus Christ House of Prayer is located at 1100 Nona Street, at the intersection of Nona and Verone. And now, to our Bishop with an anointing sermon already in progress.
Hallelujah. The Lord is so grateful. Come on, let's give my hand clap of praise tonight. Let's get a choir, big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Truly, we thank God. Praise the Lord. For another Sabbath day, praise the Lord. Happy Sabbath day, praise the Lord. Happy Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Truly, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everything that's going on in the world today, praise the Lord. We should be thankful. Hallelujah. Because truly, praise the Lord, the Lord got his hands on us, praise the Lord. We give honor to Jesus tonight, which is the head of the body, praise the Lord. Giving honor to the founder, praise the Lord, and the co-founder and Pastor Andy Marbury, Bishop Morris, Ella McKinley, the whole house of faith, praise the Lord. Truly, we're just so glad, praise the Lord, that you pressed your way to come out here tonight. Know the football game probably going on, praise the Lord. But it's good to know, praise the Lord, that we got some people that want to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Want to praise the Lord. Come on, reach over and grab somebody by the hand tonight. Everybody standing. Grab somebody by the hand tonight. And tell them that you are in the right place. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. Let's try that again. Look them in the eyes and tell them, say, you are in the right place. And tell them, say, you are at the right time to get something from the Lord. Now, if you believe that, put your hand together and give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. You may have your seat if you can, praise the Lord. You may have your seat if you can. Truly, praise the Lord, we're living in bad and horrible time, praise the Lord. The Bible call it perilous time, praise the Lord. You don't know, praise the Lord, what's going to happen, praise the Lord. You don't know if you're going to make it back home when you leave here tonight, praise the Lord. But God got his hand in the midst of everything that's going on. I said, God got his hand in the midst of everything that's going on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, praise the Lord. Turn in your Bible with me, praise the Lord, to the Old Testament, praise the Lord. Amen. Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, praise the Lord.
You're listening to KYT, KQJL, 88.1 Alexandria, Gina, 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe, 92.5 Shreveport, Greenwood, St. Joseph, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3, and Lake Charles, 100.1.
It says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her.